Yahweh's Last Day's Witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
You may be seated. Remember, this is a very solemn night between you and Yahshua. I was just telling the elders that this must have been a horrible time. This hour, what Yahshua knew that he was going to have to go through, and he was facing this. And I try to keep these emotions down. But he was facing this, and yet he went ahead and had this last service with his disciples, and knowing that he was going to be arrested. Arrested shortly afterwards. He knew, the Savior knew the cruelty that the Roman soldiers put the people through. You read about that in the book of Acts, where Shaul was one of the Roman soldiers and how he did the people. So Yahshua knew this, and this was what he was facing. When he performed this service that we're going, that we intend to perform tonight. Of course, he's out of pain now, and he will never suffer pain again. Yahshua sits at the side of, at the right hand of Yahweh, as prophesied, as high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. He actually sits as a guard to keep anyone from entering eternal life that is not qualified for it, or is it called the tree of life. He also sits as guard to keep anyone from entering that is not called by Yahweh. Lest he is drawn by Yahweh, he says no one can come to him unless he is actually drawn by Yahweh. So Yahshua is guard over that. He says all judgment in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And he sits as high priest and king, guiding and coaxing his house to do the work of Yahweh that is set before us in these last days. And fear not, he says. Satan, of course, is prophesied to come against the house of Yahweh in this time period. And Yahshua keeps telling us, fear not. Yahweh's prophets told us, fear not. So keep that in mind. But try to imagine what Yahshua himself went through on this night. Yahshua is the way to guard of, he's the way to the tree of life, and he's the guard of the tree of life. He will not allow anyone in that kingdom that can't bring forth or has chosen the way of the gods. The way to the tree of life is what he is guarding. The creator of mankind, his plan, that's what Yahshua is guarding. He's in total agreement with Yahweh from the beginning. He was in total agreement with Yahweh. And how he will finish it, how he will finish out this plan. Yahweh starts off with Genesis 1:26, when it says, I will make mankind in my image, and I will give him authority. That, of course, that goes on in his house. He calls you to his house, and he says, there you'll be tested and tried. And of course, Yeshua himself was tested and tried, yet without sin. He was tempted in all points like we, but it was without sin. Yahweh set before mankind the same thing he set before you in this generation. We're the remnant that will turn this whole thing around and resurrect all of those who died before us. Yahweh set before mankind the two trees. One tree is the God-worshipping trees, the God-worshipping religions. The other tree is the tree that Yeshua guards. He guards it just like he did when he was here on earth, to show everyone the way, the true way to the tree of life, and guard to keep the false way from coming into the house of Yahweh. Now, the house didn't consist of much at that time because it was being killed off by the other tree as Yahweh allowed it to be so. Yahweh said to Adam and Eve, he said to the whole congregation of the house of Yahweh, at Abel, he said, don't eat of this other tree. Don't eat. It will cause death. And then, of course, they went ahead and ate anyway. And they cut themselves off from Yahweh. And Yahweh said, so be it. So he set flaming swords. This is going to be explained thoroughly in this Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we have 10 great days of feasting. And also keep in mind trials and tests. But Yahweh said to the congregation of the house of Yahweh, eat only this tree. Don't eat of these others. Don't partake of God worship in any way. But he prophesied in Genesis 49, I think I want to turn there and read that again and get it in your mind here tonight, because Yahweh actually chose one family to work with to bring forth his way, which you are the last part of that family. Genesis 49, if you have your book of Yahweh, if not, make notes and listen closely. But Jacob and his 12 sons, whom he raised out of the seed of Abraham, Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, so I may tell you what will befall you in the last days. Yeshua called that the last generation in Matthew 24 and says, this is it. When you see these things that I'm telling you about, this is it. That generation will not pass away till you see all of this fulfilled, even the gathering of the dead. That is actually going to take place in this generation. You are this generation. Gather together and listen, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, exceeding in rank, turbulent like water. You will no longer, now he's speaking the last days of the seed and the genes that has come down to this generation, filling the earth, this generation. I would I could get everyone to understand that. He wasn't talking about what these people were going to be doing right then and there in the next few years. He is talking about our generation coming down from that time period. That time period was 1,689 B.Y. That's 1,689 years before Yeshua. And he's speaking of Yeshua, the man who died for our sins. He's actually speaking of him in this chapter and telling what a turbulent mess this world is going to be. He's scattering this seed throughout the whole world in this generation, this last generation. Turbulent like water, verse 4. You will no longer excel, for you went up unto your father's bed, unto my couch, and defiled it. And of course, you see here, if you could just get the lesson, why Yeshua had to die. Because of this defilement that you see right there. This one-time sin came all the way down to this generation, along with the lust that's in it. And that, of course, is what we've got to overcome. And Yeshua sets as guard over the tree of life to keep anyone from actually getting hold of this tree of life and living forever unless he's qualified for it. Simon, Levi, our brothers, this is verse 5. Their swords are weapons of violence. Yes, their swords in this time period are the greatest ever. They have nuclear bombs. Simon and Levi have nuclear bombs in this generation. It's scattered throughout the world, the hatred to use these nuclear bombs and, of course, other weapons. Verse 6. Let me not enter into their council, which means they have religious counseling going on in this generation all over. For in anger, do you see any anger among the nations today? That's what Yeshua died for. And he suffered this night. He suffered. He had to be suffering this hour before this took place. He had to be suffering greatly. Let me not enter their council. Let my glory not be joined to their assembly. This is what the instructions that came down to Yeshua, who is high priest right now, and guarding to keep this from taking place in his house. That's what he's speaking of here. He's fixing to tell you about Yeshua, your high priest that's now sitting and has his eyes wide open, looking and listening, and knowing the innermost thoughts, he says. This is Yeshua, pronounced Malak Yeshua in a certain number that will be given. It's a fantastic thing when you see this. Sometime during the feast, let me not enter into their council. Let my glory not be joined to their assembly, Yeshua. This can't be done. Guard this tree of life closely and don't let this occur to the house of Yahweh. And Yeshua says, the gates of hell will not prevail. The one who died on this night over 2,000 years ago now, he said, the gates of hell won't prevail against his house. He said that because he believes the prophecy. The prophecy says that a witness will be preaching Yeshua in these last days, and the laws that he preaches will remain with his seed and with his offspring. And they will not depart from you. That's Yahweh's promise in this chapter, and Yahweh's promise by several of the prophets, which Yeshua said, you're fools if you don't believe the prophets. Think of this. It was 1,689 years ago and describes this day fully, what he's showing here in this chapter. And talking to his house and to Yahshua and saying, be sure and guard this closely and don't let anything sneak by. For in anger they killed a man, and for their pleasure they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, so furious, and their fury so cruel. Now this is what he was facing that night, Yahshua himself, and knew what was going to take place with them, with him, and how they took pleasure in bringing pain to others. And he knew this, and he knew that he was going to experience it. This was the very hours that he was going through and when he actually washed the disciples' feet, gave them bread and wine that night. I don't think there's ever a man lived that could go through what he did. I don't think there's ever been another one. Cursed be their anger. That's verse 7. Verse 8. Yada, your brothers will praise you. Well, they're praising Yada right now. He sits on the seven hills of Rome and still holding the scepter of lawgiver. Yahshua has qualified for it. That's the righteous one that it was prophesied to receive it. But not until Yahweh's plan is completed. And of course, we're the last part of that plan when the seventh Moloch speaks. Remember Revelations 10:7? Yada, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. If you would look at what's going on in the world today, you can see his hand is on the neck of every country. Every country. They have their bank accounts tied up. They can sanction any nation they want to. They can take anything they want to away from them and set up whatever they want in any nation. Who can make war against them? Revelation said. He's speaking right here in this chapter and prophesying all of that. Yada, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be upon the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Yada. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches, lies down like the lion's breed. Who dares to arouse him? And then he gets to the scepter in this prophecy, this wonderful scepter of righteousness that's being guarded now and with a great sword. A great sword. You'll understand that if you'll listen closely throughout the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because I do intend to cover this thoroughly. Then you will understand why Yahweh allowed this, how he's kept the tree of life and guarded it. And at the same time, this two-edged sword that turns in every direction is guarding to keep the tree of life away from the people. What a wonderful prophecy it is. But we can see in this same prophecy the light at the end of the tunnel, which is Yahshua Messiah. The scepter will not depart from Yada. You see what character Yada's got, and all the world praising him. If you just look there at that, what that verse says above, all the world is praising him while he holds a forceful hand on their necks and takes at will whatever he wants, whatever the Vatican desires. This is Yada that shut down the house of Yahweh, shut it down, moved it to Rome, and started in Rome spreading the Coptic Catholic religion, which he brought out of Egypt with him, the Coptic Catholics religion. It now sits on the seven hills of Rome called the Roman Catholic religion. The scepter will not depart from you, Yada. He's the lawgiver of all nations, multitudes, as Revelation says, nations and tongues. The scepter will not depart from Yada, nor this ruling staff, the lawgiver, as lawgiver, from between his feet until... And there is your set time in prophecy. And Yahshua said, you're going to see all of these prophecies fulfilled. There's a set time for it, and it's going to be in this generation when you see the generation of the nuclear bomb, which started in 1934, when you see the increase in knowledge, which Daniel saw, that started in 1934. It all has to do with the changing of hands of this scepter, a righteous scepter that is being used unrighteously and has been used all of this time unrighteously. But a set time is for Yahshua, the man who died on this night, for our sins and actually the sins of the whole world. Yes, Yahweh has allowed this sins, and he's let it come through the whole to all nations to prove to mankind what sin will bring. You can see it on the news. We'll play you plenty of it, showing you what sin brings. The sickness, disease, the fighting, the hatred, the wars, and of course the pain, the death that goes with it, the destruction, all of it. It's out there for you to watch. You can see it. And Yahweh said you would be able to see it in this time period. How did he know that television would be here in this time period, where you could actually see what sin brings right on the screen in your living room or wherever you got the thing? The ruling staff, the lawgiver, it's going to stay with Yada. And all nations, who has his hand on the neck of every person, every nation, from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Yes, they're going to be obedient to Yahshua before he comes. Before Yahshua takes that ruling staff and his enemies fall at his feet. Well, this night is the memorial of Yahshua Messiah, who came and died for us, lived a sinless life, so he could actually pay for our sins. If you turn over to Isaiah, I'd like to read just a few of these prophecies concerning him, Isaiah 53, and talking about this night and the torture that he would go through. Isaiah 53, if you'll start with verse 1, he said, "Who has believed our report?" Now this one, Isaiah wrote about Yahshua. That was 1600, if you remember, that we just read in Genesis 49. This, Isaiah wrote about him in 712 BY. That's before Yahshua. He says, "Who has believed our report?" Well, of course, we know that they didn't believe. The 12 tribes of Israel was brought out of Egypt. They turned against Yahweh. Korah is mentioned in the bunch. But in actual fact, all of the elders of Israel were practicing and making their sacrifices not to Yahweh. Christianity paints it as if they were making sacrifices to Yahweh. They were not. They didn't fool Yahweh in making all these sacrifices. They were making sacrifices to their gods. And that's as plain as day in the Acts of the Apostles, starting in chapter 7 with Stephen, saying, "You stiff-necked and rebellious people that Yahweh brought out of the land of Egypt, you're still stiff-necked and rebellious, and you have control of the temple." That's what Yahweh said you would have. Well, in Isaiah 53 now, if you got it, verse 1, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." He, even when we see him today in the scriptures, you have to know the word of Yahweh. You have to learn it. You have to know the plan and see what this man was doing for you this night before you can see him in your mind's eye and start to love this man. But at first sight, as the Christians see him, which they don't even know Yahweh, they think he was a person who came and died and didn't know how to count. His prophecies were all off. He said he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights, but he is only there for a half a day and he is gone. Well, when you see this and you understand the prophecies fully, and you know what he did here and what he was actually preparing himself to do, from a very early age, he was preparing himself for this, to fulfill this plan of paying for your sins, you people in the house of Yahweh. Yes, the ones that Yahweh has called here to his house in the last days where he chose to place his name. He is despised and he is rejected, and he's still rejected throughout the world. There's no love for Yahshua. They removed his name. They put the name of gods in his place. They're still worshiping and making sacrifices to the same gods they brought out of Egypt with them. The only ones that's worshiping Yahshua right now in this generation is right here in this house, gathered together to keep his memorial, and he's well aware of this, he and Yahweh too, and they're here, their eyes and their hearts are here with you this night, knowing the innermost thoughts of your being, he says. Now this is true, and the more you understand about prophecy, the more you would believe these prophecies. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. Yes, he had to be sorrowful. If you could imagine what this man was going through in the same hour that I'm speaking here, when he was getting ready to die, actually knowing that he was going to be arrested and then he would be tortured. Imagine, I know you know what mesquite thorns are. If you ever get one in your finger, you will know how it hurts. It's worse than a wasp sting. The pain that goes with that, and you can't pull it out. This man, they platted a crown of thorns from a mesquite limb, twisting it round and round with the spikes sticking out, and they pushed it down on his head. This should show you the pain, and he knew this was going to take place. He knew right here in the prophecies that is talking about him, how they would actually pull his beard out. They'd yank his beard till it come out from his cheeks. Now this is what he knew, and this is what he was prepared to do, and he did it for your sake. He is still despised and still rejected, even though we have taken this word to all the world and showing them what complete fools they are in using B.C. and A.C., totally removing his name and memory from the scriptures that was written about him and instructed to be written by him, taking his name out and the name Yahweh out. If you check what I'm saying out, like the name Russell. My mother's name, maiden name was Russell. In looking at this, I never did study genealogies, but it was shown to me. The first night at the fair where we had a booth with the house of Yahweh, and next door to it was people that had a computer, and they were into genealogies, and they were selling books, and they'd look up your name and tell you, and the minute they saw my name Hawkins, they pulled it up and said, "Oh, your name was changed." They told me what it meant. David Verner added to that later and showed that these were zealous priests of Yahweh. That's the word, what the name Hawkins means. But the name Russell, it actually showed where they, in the days of persecution, where they actually took the name YAH off and started and replaced it with the word God, El. And the people, if they carried the name Yahweh, they would either change their name or they'd murder them. Today they change their name out of fear and a little bit of persecution. But the names, just having that much on the end of your name. They came to the disciples and said, "Don't prophesy to us in this name anymore. Don't be preaching around here in this name." That's talking about Yahweh and Yahshua, which meant Yahweh will save his people from their sins. They said to Jeremiah, "Don't prophesy anymore to us in this name, or we will kill you." How many times have they threatened the house of Yahweh in these last days, in this generation? But we have taken this message to all the world, as Yahshua Messiah said we would. Yahshua Messiah. And he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail, but my house will prevail in doing this work." Praise Yahweh. He is despised and rejected, but not by his house. We love him. We want to be like him, and we're going to wash his feet here tonight. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yes, you think he was laughing and playing that night at this time period? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Yahweh, and afflicted. That's also what sin brings to the world, affliction. We have babies born with it. We have mothers living with it that are dying. Their bodies are eat up with sin. I'm going to skip the rest of that. You can read it later in your own home. And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. Praise Yahweh that your names are written in heaven, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11. Let's start with verse 23. For I received from Yahshua that which I also delivered to you, that Yahshua Messiah, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this represents my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup represents the renewing of the covenant. That covenant is shown, of course, in Hebrews 10, and also by the prophets also, the renewing of this covenant. That's what he means. He's putting the laws of Yahweh. That's 10:16. He's putting the laws of Yahweh in your heart. The way he puts his laws in your heart is right now you seeing what breaking his laws does. You can actually see it now in this generation. It you know, we have televisions that show the news, and you can actually sit there in your home and watch and see and rest assured that the naked bodies you see that creates the lust causes the war that you see ripping people's bodies to pieces. The same thing. You see it, and you see why. My blood, he says, this represents the covenant. This cup represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This represents the renewing of the covenant. Keep my laws, and your merits will be eternal life. Yes, eternal life. In the greatest kingdom ever. Yahweh came up with the plan. It was his plan. He's the one that's carrying this plan out. And he says, by merits you will receive this. Do this. Well, this is the renewing of it in this time period, in the place where Yahweh chose to place his name. You do this, he says, come to my house, you do what the priest says, and you will receive eternal life. Yahshua is guarding it, making sure you're ready before he ever gives it to you. Part of it is going to be the use of your subconscious mind, which you're going to feel like you're going to explode. You can have all this knowledge, and it's right there, and you know it right then and there. You can draw on it and see it all the time in front of you. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yahshua's death until he comes. This is the unleavened bread, if you can see it. Everyone can see it. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you, Father, through Yahshua, our high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh that you have placed so in prophecy, coming before you, Heavenly Father, on this night, celebrating Yahshua's memorial as you show us to do from the beginning when you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and certain ones actually who believed, brought these prophecies forward, prophesying of Yahshua to come. He did. He died for our sins. He now sits at the right hand, at your right hand, over the house of Yahweh, as high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. This time we hold up to you the bread that represents his body, and that is body that was broken for our sins, for our healing, for our renewal, for our entry into the tree of life, the great kingdom of Yahweh that you have set here on earth, your house representing your kingdom. We thank you for this and the knowledge of it. We thank you and praise you. We ask your guidance here, Father, as we conduct this service. Let it all be done to your will and your glory. We give you thanks and praise in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, again, Father, we thank you for Yahshua who died on this night over 2,000 years ago. We thank you for this and the knowledge of it, what it was for. We thank you for the knowledge of sin, Father, and the destruction that goes with it. We thank you for opening our minds in order we can see this and see the cause. We look up to you, Yahweh, because Yahshua is showing us the way. He paved the way by dying for us and paying for our sins and forgiving us, Father, our sins and converting us over to your way. We want to be a part of this forever. We want to be like Yahshua. And we do suffer tonight the way that he, not physically but mentally, Father, we're going through this misery that he did. And we know that he and you love us and are here celebrating this feast with us. We bless you and praise you for his blood that was shed for us, and we readily take it in to ourselves at this time. We thank you and praise you in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.